Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Welcome, everyone, to the Marketing Vanguard, Leading Voices in B2B Innovation. Today, we're fortunate enough to have Chris DiMartino. He is the founder and CEO of Programmatic B2B with a specialty in very fine-tuned ABM account-based marketing. And for everybody that's new, we launched the podcast in order to spotlight leaders like Chris in shaping the future of B2B marketing. Hi, Chris. Thank you.
Hi, how are you, Paula?
Good. Thank you for joining. So let's jump in. What do you see, Chris, as the biggest shift in programmatic marketing over the past year, and how are you adjusting your strategies to stay ahead?
Good question. So a big shift is two things that I see. There's definitely a lot more transparency, and there's definitely a lot greater integration of sales and marketing teams working together.
Oh, that's new.
Yeah, a lot of that gets guided by the agency. So what we'll do in a lot of cases, we'll ask the marketer to invite their business development leaders to the call. So when we talk about an audience strategy, the salespeople can come in and bring their pipeline out of Salesforce and use some of that information to start to build out who they're going to advertise to. But that sales and marketing integration, not only in the beginning of the process, but throughout the campaign and through the end of the campaign, as far as follow-up and lead nurturing go, the sales teams are also involved.
That's great, because for years it's been they're committed more like this. They didn't collaborate. It was like siloed. So that's good to hear that's a shift. And you mentioned transparency. How do you feel like with the agencies coming on board with more transparency? Because it seems like it used to be the black box in marketing.
A lot of the campaigns used to be contextual. And there's a lot, tens of thousands of audiences out there on the different DSPs for programmatic. And some of them work and some of them don't. Some of the data is totally false, right? So you can find audiences out there with 10 million CEOs and you just know it's not right.
Right.
But even some of the better audiences, what you lose is the ability to report back to the client at the account level. So we've actually made a huge shift in the past 18 months. 18 months ago, every report that we provide to the client shows them which companies are engaging.
Wow.
So if it's a CPG campaign, for example, we'll show them Pepsi, Kraft Heinz, Procter & Gamble, and we'll show them how many VPs of technology, information technology are engaging from those specific domains, not just ads served, but clicks, website visits, how much time they're spending on the site. All of that we're reporting back at the account level so that whether an audience is good or not, we'll actually know for sure that they're getting to the right people because we report it out that way.
That's pretty exciting because, like I said before, it has traditionally been more of a black box.
Mostly for display. Email's always been transparent because you get the opens and the clicks on the individual with the PII. But we wanted to take that to display and native because it's less intrusive than a lot of the prospect emails that go out.
And what about social?
Social, what we're finding is social is still good, but it's limited in scale because you're only in the walled gardens. Mm-hmm. And then they're also more expensive, right? Because they own that customer relationship. So we do social as an add-on if the client has the budget, but we don't start with social.
Okay.
Because if we start with social, they won't have enough money left in the budget to do the more broad open market or open web type of advertising.
Makes sense. Are there any emerging technologies, platforms, or data-driven approaches you're integrating into your programmatic campaigns to enhance efficiency and performance at this time?
Yes. That's our greatest pain point, but also our greatest success.
Okay.
So our larger accounts, right? When we started this company about 6 years ago, most of our accounts were under $50 million a year. Okay. Now we're working with companies that are in the $10 to $20 billion a year category.
Big jump.
Those accounts... Thank you. It's resellers like you guys that help us get there. One of the things that we're doing is we're giving them a data feed.
Okay.
So we give them a download from our DSP and we structure that data feed to align with the goals and objectives and accounts that they have. Let's say, for example, we have a large information technology client and they have 9 different vertical market leaders: education, healthcare, government, commercial, etc. What we'll create a lookup table for the campaigns and code them based on the vertical market leaders and send them a daily feed. And that daily feed gets populated into their marketing automation platform and then also their CRM, so that the marketing people and the salespeople can see by account and by industry what type of exposure they're getting for certain things, whether it's a product or a webinar or content.
Daily's awesome.
Yeah, it's the data's there,
yeah,
right? Every DSP has it.
Yeah.
And most DSPs, and we've got some pretty good ones, but most of them have the ability for you to schedule exports. The only thing that you have to keep in mind is it's not a slam dunk, right? So you can't just go to the DSP and have them export it to your client and expect everything to work. It's usually important to have an intermediary.
Okay.
Because you've got to transform the data to make it fit your client's environment.
Is that what you do?
That's what we do,
okay,
right? But we do that globally, okay, right? So we have a team of software engineers in India. So the data feed goes to them, right?
Okay.
And they're under contract and everything's secure. And they take that data and they run it through a process of lookups and transform it to the client the way the client wants to see it. And it's all done. It's about a 20-minute a day process for them, very low cost. We actually cover the cost for the client.
Okay.
And the client gets all those daily results, and then they reconcile to all the campaigns at the end of the year. But that's that kind of an integration. It takes out a lot of the need for the more expensive platforms.
Okay.
And the more expensive platforms force the client to have a subject matter expert on that platform. And then what happens if that platform no longer meets their needs? Then they have to go through a major migration to get off of it.
To your point, that's one of the things I've been hearing is that especially the major, like the Fortune 2000, if they have like 10 platforms, they may be using a little piece or module from each one, and they're paying these astronomical fees, and they're not, because somebody sold it to them, but yet they're not using any of it. And
right,
what we're seeing is that they're taking a look at that to see what they can collapse down to be more efficient, which it sounds like is what you do, is help them become more efficient. And it's more on your back than on theirs.
The reality is that DSPs have gotten so advanced. And so you could take a DSP, a demand side platform for all of the channels except for email. And they're getting to the point to where they're going to have email as well.
Okay.
And then maybe have an ESP for prospect email, or even do the email through your own system. And then you don't really need all those platforms.
Mm-hmm.
As long as, because what's happened is that these other platforms that are connected to all the ad networks have evolved to the point to where they're being just as competitive.
Okay.
And you don't have to pay the high premium or cost of entry to get onto a big ABM platform.
Sounds like maybe some of them won't survive, some of these platforms.
I don't know. I think there's a stickiness to it, right? But I think at some point, a company has to look at cutting costs and being more efficient. They're going to take a closer look at it.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially if the CFO gets involved.
Exactly, right.
Do you use do-it-yourself CTV platforms like Disney, Campaign Manager, or Amazon Ads, which are designed for small businesses? Do you use either one of them?
No, we don't. The small businesses that we do work with, and it's a few of them, they're pretty small, and their budgets are actually too small for that.
Okay. So
it is really small. So and then the ones that are in the middle, those companies are too big for those types of platforms. So it's a sweet spot for a lot of them, but we find that companies like that use Performance Max, Google Performance Max, because it integrates search. They can be really hyper-targeted for local. Like we have a client in New Jersey that does lead based paint testing. That would be good for a platform like that.
Okay.
But for $30 a day, we just put them on a Google Performance Max campaign, and it's hard to beat that.
$30 a day?
Yeah, that's small.
Yeah, exactly. So you're bringing a lot of value to your clients, economic value, along with your strategic advice. So that's awesome.
When you talk about the platforms like Disney and the CTV is expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you set up a campaign like that, the larger accounts, we're going to do a much more complex ABM approach. And then the small accounts that we have are below that. So our business wouldn't use those. Doesn't mean they're not good. It could be a great fit for somebody else, but probably not for the type of businesses that we have in our portfolio.
It would seem to me that with the smaller accounts, with their smaller budgets, somebody like yourself and your company can really help move the needle for them in a very economic fashion. So
yeah, we can. And then sometimes we'll outsource. You got to be sensitive to the fact that a lot of the small businesses, they just don't have that much of a budget.
But yet they want to do it. They want to do it.
Yeah, and they want to do it. So usually what we'll recommend for a small business is we'll put them on, we'll basically redo their website, right?
Wow.
And we'll use global resources to get it done, give them the SEO, and then they can run a small Google program on top of that. And for about $500 a month, they're up and running.
Wow.
Right. And then for the website, that's about $2,500 to $3,500 one time. But then it takes a small business. Yeah, it takes a small business to a whole different level, right? A whole different level. And the return on investment of that usually pays off in 6 to 12 months.
Usually website refreshes are like 10K plus, right? So
yeah, if they're done in the US.
Yeah, they're done in the US. So you're definitely bringing a lot of value to your clients.
Yeah.
Of the BB audience targeting, what strategies are you finding most effective in reaching high intent decision makers?
Yeah, intent is an interesting one, right? Because we actually tested a few intent data segments. And I believe in intent data, but it's definitely an area that you have to be careful. And so one of the things that we did is we actually, because of the economies of scale of the larger accounts that we had, our DSP gave us a lot of credit to generate more impressions. And instead of taking that, we gave it back to the client.
Okay.
Right? So we gave 10% of our impression volume back to the client at no cost in exchange for the client doing an A-B split test.
Okay.
And we did an A-B split test of an intent data segment versus everybody in the ABM audience.
Right? Okay.
And what we found was the intent data segment was between, depending on the geo, was between 2/3 and 3/4 the size of the full audience. That's a lot. So what that told us is, okay, so what they're doing to capture the intent is very broad, or there could be a lack of recency. And obviously, a lot of data providers, in order to monetize their assets, they have to sell a decent size audience. And so when we ran it, we actually got a better CTR and a better view through rate and better time on site, all three, on the ABM audience without the intent. And we didn't even have to pay for the intent data, and it still outperformed it. However, I do believe that when you have things like G2 crowd, where you can go in G2 and that's where people are searching for software and seeing what, those types of intent sources, I think are really powerful. But they're really powerful, and it's worth paying a lot for intent data where small things come, big things come in small packages.
Yeah.
I think that's where intent value is. I don't see the intent working, not from our experience when we split test it, in the big volumes. We see it working in the small volumes.
Were you able to drill down on the topics very well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We got the right topics. We got everything. But what we didn't know is, did this person search on this topic in the last 2 weeks, or was it the last 2 years, right?
Yeah,
so we didn't have that kind of transparency in the data provider. Like the type of data that you guys provide, I know we get a lot more transparency. We'd be able to pick through it a lot better. But when you go and buy this kind of stuff through a DSP, you don't always know what you're getting.
Yeah, good point, especially through a DSP. Yeah, because for us, what we found in the email marketing side of it is it's usually, if it's, I'm just using this as a number, maybe a 10% open rate, then it usually is a 20% with using the intent to 25%. It'll double at least.
Yeah.
We do a recency of 2 weeks.
See, that's that's the way to use it.
Yeah.
For online advertising, if you want to do something at scale, I would recommend using contextual AI.
Okay.
Because you take the same keywords and then you find people looking for it in real time. Right. And so then you overlay contextual AI with ABM, and now you've got people looking at the subject matter that is based on that intent keyword, but you also have the specific accounts that you're looking for.
Explain the contextual AI to our audience.
Okay, so contextual AI is, it's very similar to contextual targeting, right? Where you want to target people in certain web pages. Maybe it's aerospace or automotive. But the difference is you put in different types of keywords that you include and things you want to exclude, and the AI goes across the web and generates these lookalike pages that are most likely to represent intent for those keywords. And then you get a list of those, like a sample. And I'd say you need to see at least 25 web pages to know if N equals 25 is a good sample to say, okay, these 25 pages look like what I want to advertise on for this intent. And then they scale against that.
Okay.
And so you get a look and you get a taste of what that context is going to be before you launch the campaign.
Okay. That's pretty exciting. Is it expensive? Because AI is so new now that people trying to access and use it are like a huge price tag to operate.
No, matter of fact, I have not seen any increase in CPM when I run contextual AI. It's and then a lot of the audiences that are run programmatically now, the data is a factor of the media spend. And it's sometimes it's a dollar amount, sometimes it's a percentage, and the DSPs optimize for what's best for the end user, right? Which sometimes creates a problem for data sellers, right? Because they're not getting the full value of their data. But on the flip side, the end user gets the benefit because 12% of a high CPM is going to be a lot more than a fixed rate on a high CPM.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, you want to do the best for your customer.
That's right. And then that's the thing, right? If it's working, the campaign just keeps going. And that's what we shoot for. We shoot for always on campaigns so that clients are in front of the right accounts 24/7.
Yeah. And that's the goal. Are there any other strategies beyond this AI, which is the first I've heard of that, to be honest with you? So that was exciting to find out about. Is there any other strategies that you're employing?
A lot of it is AI. So for AI, another thing that we're doing is, for example, we have a lot of clients that if they don't have their first party data figured out, maybe they're a startup and they don't have a list of accounts that they want to go for, and they want to reach people in, maybe they're looking at South Korea, Japan, Singapore, and Australia. And I'm using that as an actual example of one.
Okay.
And they said, and we want to reach these market segments, retail, insurance, life sciences, and two others. And they don't have the list. So we'll use AI to generate the list, to append the domains, and then to structure that data so that it can be imported into our DSP to build an ABM audience.
Wow.
Now, in the old days, like 6 months ago, you would have to hire somebody to do that research, mm-hmm. or you'd have to go use an AI tool that appends domains to a list that you had to go and get in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, OpenAI does the whole process. So something that was half AI is now 90% AI. We're using AI to build audiences now, not just headlines on ads.
Are you able to do that at scale, or is this for more small targeted campaigns? Or can they get large?
Pretty scalable.
Yeah.
Unless you're targeting small businesses.
Okay.
So if you want to advertise to small businesses, you're not going to go into ChatGPT and get a list of 10,000 small businesses and domains.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those won't even have a domain. But if you want to target the top 25 property and casualty insurance companies in Germany and Switzerland and France,
mm-hmm.
this solution works perfect for that. And then you use like a lead forensics to take those companies and build the audience. And then you put that into your DSP. And then your client gets to see that Novo Nordisk in the UK generated 1,000 impressions from this ad last month.
Very exciting. And who knows what the future portends in the next 6 months, right? So,
well, the next thing is going back. Now we go back to the traditional marketing, mm-hmm. right? And we have this list of companies that have engaged. And then we take that list of company domains and we come to Paula and say, hey, Paula, can your team generate an email database, a prospect database for these people? Because we already have engaged them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give that prospect database and we license that out to the client, and the client brings that into their CRM. And now instead of having 10,000 contacts in their CRM, now they're up to 12,000,
mm-hmm.
and they're already engaged,
mm-hmm.
versus just going and buying a list of people they haven't engaged with.
Yeah. And the old, what we used to call the shotgun approach.
Yeah.
So, Chris, this has been very informative. I learned something today. So I really appreciate your time. And for our audience, if you want to know more about what Chris does, you can go to the website, which is programmaticb2b.com. Chris, got that right?
Yeah.
Or reach out and probably be able to reach out to Chris directly. Do you want to give your email address, Chris?
Sure. It's Chris at programmaticb2b.com.
Easy enough. And you can take the conversation further to learn how to do some really targeted marketing with AI. Thank you for joining us today, Chris.
You're welcome. Thanks, Paula.
Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.